So, inshallah, good ideas, good behaviors. Bad ideas, bad behaviors. Confused ideas, confused behaviors. So it was essential in that stage is to build what? The foundation and build it right. So you will see all the element of building the aqidah. Aqidah is the basic fundamentals of belief. The whole message, the period of the whole message is what? 23 years. 12 out of those is to build the brain. Once the brain got built, it's going to be very easy to accept the legislation and apply it. Okay, so in building that, the Quran had to be to compare, is not to compare, but to evaluate all the other different types of belief and to show the authentication or not authentication, what happened, how it happened, and who did what. Another thing we also going to see in this ayat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identified the approach of how to identify him. And we know now, trying to know God through his being is wrong. Wrong. But try to know him through his capability is the approach, is the right way to do it. We know God through his capability, through his creation. You look at how he created you, how he created the environment, how he created the universe. And I'll talk about today, I will talk a little bit by details on the other class inshallah. Also he identified the tools that you supposed to use to identify God. And it comes with those, the major tools that we have in our life is what? Number one, the mind. Number two, to what we call the conscious. Number three, the five senses, which is going to be what? Touching, hearing, seeing, smelling, and tasting. And after that, another tools to identify God is going to be what? Messengers and messages. And the final tool going to be what? Parents and role models. The mankind is known to be the longest childhood period known. No creature have a childhood period longer than the human being. Why? Because of the slow development of the conscious, slow development of the mind, slow development, and here it comes the role of the supervision of the parents. The job of the parents is not to provide for the children. The job of the parents is to teach the children how to qualify to God mercy in this life and after. That is a major job. That is the job of the parents. Also, in this ayat, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined himself by himself and sealed it. One of the tools, inshallah, we will study with each other down the road, that in some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promoting you to do something. He is promoting you to do it. Right? And all the time you will see As long as he is promoting you to do something, you're going to end up either by reward if you do it, or show you the severe consequences if you don't, or you keep doing the wrongdoing. But it is still here what? You have the choice intact. Your will is still preserved. And it is up to you and your decision. And clearly define the consequence of the two paths. But we're going to find also in the Quran there are issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. Those issues is a way beyond your comprehension. And they are also beyond your decisions. And I'm not going to leave them to your own prerogative. And I'm not going to leave them to your own understanding. And in those, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them in a form of order. Like using the word qada. Qada means so decree. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah so decree to worship none but Him and to give the most utmost respect and kindness to your parents. Case is closed. Don't come and back and say I had a bad parents. Are they parents? They qualify. They are under the umbrella. How that account will be settled later on, but that's your job, buddy. Another form, so one of the forms is a qada, decree. The second, qul. Qul, that means say. That's a decision. Decision Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. And when Allah decide, the case is closed. There is no mayam, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, Allah is the one absolute internal. Never begotten, begot none, and none like unto Him. That is close. Don't come later on and tell me He is in the form of XYZ, or He is a concept, or He is this, or He is. Case is close. That's the scope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know about that issue. And the case is close. You take it or you leave it, but you don't change it. Also, because of the nature of the pressure that Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had, you know, I really wish sometimes, if you have a time to study what kind of agony and pain he went through, to know how much he put as a human being. You know, anybody else would say, hey buddy, you want to be good to yourself, be good to yourself. If you don't, tough. Have a good day. But I don't believe that Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had one single day that I can call average day in any one of us life. One single day. If you see the nature of the pressure, the trouble, more than one mega problem at the same time, from inside his family, from outside his family, from his tribe, from his obligations, from the challenges that he is facing, and how he is handling all of those. What he gonna get at the back? Money? No. Glory? He doesn't need it. Being a king or royalty? He doesn't need it, and he doesn't want it. He wants you to be good to yourself. That's all into it. And you are not even giving him the opportunity to listen to him, to what's good for you. And he kept going, and he never gave up. Also, this ayat identified the human being, or described to the human being, that what it calls what? The human being cycle. And what is the human being cycle? We ourselves in our life, we see so many different creatures cycle. How? By, like for instance, the silk and the worm of the silk. Some, it is physically, it is a worm. But after that, it is a fly. In a certain stage, a fly. And after that, it goes back at whatever that is. There is a cycle. And in that cycle, the same creature has a complete different attributes. Physically. The people in that time, they believe, we live, we die, end of the case. أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ أَوَآبَاؤُنَا الْأَوَّلُونَ What I said is, after we die and we are born and we are deteriorated, are we going to resurrect it again? What are you talking about? So you don't know where you came from, you don't know, but you know that you are alive. And here it comes, the definition, and clearly defined the definition to the human being life cycle. One day you yourself were a soul. It's called in the world of Zer. Zer, that means the beginning. What is your attribute there is completely different from your attribute now. I don't want to go to a lot of details here, but if you want to know the difference, we know it by weight, by about 25 grams. When they waited, somebody dying, and after the soul leave, usually that body lose 25 grams. That's the only thing we know. By the God permission, you came to be a what? Sperm. And your father back. And when you were a sperm, you were in a complete different format. You were in a format to survive in the environment that you are in it, and to qualify to live in the environment after. By the God permission, you got transferred to the mother womb. A complete different environment. And from the second fertilization, what happened? You have a timetable started to tick 24/7. You have a what? Work breakdown structure chart going in. After 4 weeks, that part is gone. After 4 weeks, there are 6 weeks, that is that. And after that is what? At the end. So in this cycle, right, you were surviving in, and at the same time doing development to what? To the next one. And the mother womb, you have eyes, there is no reason for them. You have arms, there is no reason for them. You have legs, there is no reason for them. You have a breathing system, there is no reason for them. All the equipment that you have, called a human being body, you didn't need them in your mother womb. But the minute that you went to the new world, you fit right in a few seconds. And who did all of this retransformation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with no interference from anybody. And I talked, I think, before, and I don't know if that's recorded or not, about the female immune system and how it handles the sperm, and how everybody and every organ, when it is get developed, it get a permission to stay, and the last one is the lungs, and when the lungs get, it doesn't, actually it gives permission to evacuate, and here it goes, the woman, it goes to labor. That means, I am ready to go. When the lung get completed, it says, I am ready to go. Evacuation order, it will be granted by the grace of Allah when we have the baby. In this life, it is still the same cycle. And in this, so every all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no interference. I don't want anybody to interfere. رَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلِقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ Have you seen the sperm? Are you the one who created, or I am the creator? So, but in this one, he said, no, I will take care of a part, and you have to qualify yourself. And here is the approach. and here is the tools. And I'm not going to leave you alone. I will be giving you all kind of help when you ask for it. That means you qualify yourself by yourself to my mercy in this life. After that, and that's probably the tape that you got yesterday, is talking about that issue. What's it between life and death? After that, it's going to start, you're going to die. That's a part of the cycle. A separation of the soul from the body, a deterioration of the body because you're needed anymore. After that, the resurrection again, life after death, you will wake up again, where the union between the body and between the body will be recreated, and the soul will be there, and it will be the trial for all the deeds, good or bad. Everything that you've been given to life in this life, what did you do with it? How you use it to qualify to His mercy. And based on that, you qualify to God's mercy or not. And after that, the final stage of the life cycle is what it called the internal destination. And I hope inshallah we will be on the positive one, which is called Jannah. Or otherwise, wal'azu billah, it will be the fire. Also this ayat, this ayat identified the different types of personalities and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see everyone. Everyone is good. Everyone is okay. I have a little shortcoming here and shortcoming there, but the bottom line, I'm a nice guy. And probably when I die, what's going to happen? Huh? I'm going to go right into Jannah, or I'm going to qualify. Everybody's saying that. Who is the wrongdoer then? And here it comes to the value. You have 23 templates in the Quran. Each one of those templates vividly identifying the mentality and the behavior of a human being. He is telling you, the believer, what they think of and what they do. Hypocrite, what they think of, what they do. Associate, the one who associates, what they think of and what they do. The ignorant, what they think of and what they do. The deliberate ones, what they do and what they think of. 23 different models we have in the Quran. There is no way for worship that you are not going to fit in one of them. And once you fit in one of them, that to me, that is a whole lot of mercy, because I don't need anybody to evaluate me. He already passed the evaluation. He said, if you have 1, 2, 3, 4, you are on the right track. But you know, brushing up, keep up, keep going. I found out in another category that I am doing 1, 2, or 3. Says, no, get out of here. Or you cannot be with this template and this template. You're only going to be in one, but you cannot be in two. You see what I'm saying? Very easy. So it is very easy to do. Your job is when you go to those templates, you will see them in the Makkiyan Surah. Why? Because they represent not how you see yourself, represent how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you. And what is more important is what? Not what you see yourself, how you see yourself. More important, how He see you. Because He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the one who going to say if you qualify to His mercy or not. Also, it set the main major milestone. And I consider this point, I may be wrong, but this is how I perceive things, a revolution by its own self. What am I going to be talking about now? But in the history of the mankind, this point is a revolution by its own self. Why? Because it identified the major foundations of dealing with God. You remember before I said, in human being behavior, we have three major models. When I have a weak, what I do? Dominate and take and violate. I create excuse. Rule number one or step number one in criminal behavior is what? Dehumanize your victim. Once you dehumanize your victim, you give yourself excuses to violate them, to violate their rights. So if they are weak, they cannot defend on themselves, you're going to create excuse and go for it. Why? Because Mr. Brain says what? Get the maximum with paying out the minimum. See how we go crazy when we say a sale 80%. You are talking the mind language. That's the first model. The second model, what we do, if I'm going to see a comparability, that means if I'm going to attack you to take what I want, I'm going to get hurt. We start what we call negotiation. How about if I give you this and you give me this? Right? Why? We all the time trade with the comparable. A third model is when I deal with somebody who's a lot more stronger than me. And the worst part of it, I know for a fact that I need him, right? And he doesn't need me. I got a big problem here. Number one, I have to show loyalty. That means I cannot cause any harm. Right? And also I want to show submission. And from there we have the birth of the concept of sacrifice. And the concept of sacrifice dealing with God, it was all the time during the history in any given philosophy. You have to sacrifice to make God happy. You want something from God? Talk to him. Business. Right? You want to live more? Talk to him. You want him to take care of your enemy? Talk to him. The concept of sacrifice. It came to the point of even the human being in groups in the history, they sacrificed by another human being to show devotion and submission. In seasons like droughts, or afraid of rains are not going to come, or things like that. They used to sacrifice by a full human being, or a part of the body, like an eye, or arm, or finger. And so on and so forth. And here it comes, the revolution. Rule number one in the revolution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say what? Stop. Nothing that you have that I need. I give, I don't take. So I don't need your sacrifice. The only thing that I want from you is what I evaluate you by, which is what? Piety. And what is the piety? A taqwa. What is the piety is? A love and fear. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough to be promoted and self-proactive to obey Him and to please Him. And at the same time, afraid of Him, to disobey Him. Because sometimes we love but we don't fear, and sometimes we fear and we don't love. You love your child but you don't fear him, right? If he will do something, you will discipline him. And you are afraid from a mugger but you don't like him, and you will obey him. Give me your wallet, you're going to give me his wallet, the gun in your head. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you by your own will to have what it called al-khashya, taqwa. That means you love him enough to obey him by your choice, and you are afraid of him enough to dare to disobey him. You don't take him for granted. That's the base right there of dealing. The second base, he said, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah so decided to deal with all his creatures by mercy. That means what? I want you to know, any act that I do, it is an act of mercy. I can do otherwise, but I want you to know that what I am doing to you is what? Act of mercy. Maybe sometimes it's not going to be what you like. Maybe sometimes it's not going to be what you want, but it is act of mercy. And what does the act of mercy means? What does the word mercy mean? Huh? Are you with me? No. Okay, I'm going to make it easy. When you go to somebody and say, have mercy, what does that mean? Huh? What is empathy? Empathy, okay. What it means? Oh, I'm a very simple man. Just give me explanation. You're throwing a whole big your word is making me dizzy. What does the word mercy here mean? Mercy means preventing harm before it happens. We will study all of those extensively if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want. Prevent harm before it happens. That's an act of mercy. When you come and say, have mercy on me, what do you say? I'm hitting trouble. Help me to prevent it. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second rule, he's saying here what? كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Listen, I take the responsibility to prevent any harm that can happen to you before even you ask for it. Why? Because I am the merciful. Right? Okay. The third rule of setting this ground, he said, equality. You owe to me the same. There is no holiness or semi-holiness to anyone. You all have the same opportunity. As long as I give you a life and I give you death, every one of you in a state of trial. And whatever you have, it is a part of your trial. In my eye, the one who cleans the room to the king is equal to the king. The only favor is by piety, by the state of submission and how you do the submission to act. So there is no favorism to anybody. Right? You all my creatures, you all